What's up, guys? Welcome to the Tony and Dakota podcast. Today we have a very special guest, and he is a St. Francis College student, and he's going to be interviewing Dakota. Enjoy the video.
All right.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I just wanted to come and talk to you and learn about you and like what you do and how you started. So, I mean, I just want to hear about your journey. Like, did you go to high school around here? Did you grow up around here?
Yeah, so I went to East Noble, so okay. Yeah, in Kendallville, about 40 minutes north.
Okay, so no college then?
No college, nope.
What did you do right out of high school then?
Oh, man, so right out of high school, I went from, I worked at the YMCA, which is funny because I had like long hair and stuff, and yeah. Whenever they were going to hire me, and then I did aftercare with like the little kids and stuff, and yeah, I just loved kids and like helping them develop it, and it was really fun, but from there, I also was working another job at the street department in Kendallville. And then it was funny, I just remembered when I was telling one of my friends at the street department, I was like painting all the lines and stuff. And then, but whenever it rained, then the guy who worked at the street department also worked for the cemetery. And so what I do whenever it was pouring down rain, I went and weed eated all the graves. So okay. It's just pouring down rain and I'm just like weed eating and stuff and like, it's so crazy because at the time it just didn't bother me and I was like, whatever, man, I was willing to do whatever it took. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I also was working another job and then I was doing landscaping. So I was working three jobs all at the same time and then it just started to get to be a whole lot. So I was like, all right, I stopped at the YMCA because I started like falling asleep too
yeah.
with the kids because I'd be working all day. I woke up real early. It'd be about like 3-4 o'clock, you know, I'd be hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. Then about the end of the day when the parents started picking them up, I'm like, all right, let's watch a movie and just chill out. And I'd fall asleep and I'm like, all right, I can't keep doing this. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I ended up leaving the YMCA and went to a couple different jobs after that, but mm-hmm. yeah.
So did you get into, I saw you got into car sales, right? You were a car
yep.
salesman. And then how did you get into real estate eventually?
Okay, so well, I'll tell the story about car sales first. So that, I just kept jumping from job to job, and I was working. It wasn't like I was like quitting and leaving the job. There's like more, I was working so many jobs at the same time. Landscaping was the main one that I was at, but it's seasonal, and so then I had to find another winter job all the time, and I didn't like to give up jobs because I was like, oh man, I can do both. And so I always tried to do two. So I went from being a mechanic, working in a factory, doing all these different things every winter. And I remember one time I went down to Texas even and worked down there for 2 weeks. And a funny story about that was actually I was so poor that I was like getting $50 per day for like food allotment. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to bring protein bars. And so, dude, all I did was eat protein bars, these like really cheap ones. And, dude, it was horrible.
Wow.
But then that winter, actually, I applied for a trailer factory. And, you know, I came from a family that was very, you know, just hardworking. And they're like, oh, yeah, go to a trailer factory. That's going to be, like, the best place you can go. You make $1,000 a week. You know, life will be great. And then so I went and interviewed. They're like, yep, I think you can do it. And I'm like, I know I can do it. And then I went to interview. Actually, I got a phone call right when I was about to say yes to them. I got a phone call from Glenbrook Hyundai. Rob Carr, I actually just interviewed him probably about a week and a half, Tony and I did, mm-hmm. and he called me, he's like, well, which one would you rather do? I'm like, well, shoot, I'd rather be a car salesperson.
Yeah.
You know, dressing up nice, talking to people, that sounded like a whole lot more fun, but I didn't even know I had any, like, sales skills at all. So then I got into sales. From sales, it just shot, like, up. It was insane. And started doing really, really well, like got salesperson of the year 4 years in a row, just like really worked my butt off and just got, I think I had like 33 salesperson of the months out of like 50 months
wow.
that I was there. So it was a lot. And then another one of my friends noticed and he was like, hey, have you ever thought about flipping houses? And at that time, or a couple years before that, Tony actually told me to read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you read that?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
That was the book that changed it for me. And so then, read that book, started listening to Bigger Pockets, learned for about like 2 years straight. Then the guy reaches out to me. Have you ever thought about flipping houses? I'm like, yep. Been thinking about it for a long time. And so we're like, all right, I want to do it. Let's partner up. I'm like, sounds good. And then at that time, I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, then I want Tony to be involved with it. And so we all just met up one day and then freaking flipped our first house.
Went up from there, right?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. So what is your role in the company right now? You guys started this, what, 2019?
2018, yeah, end of 2018.
Okay. So what is your role, and then what is Tony's role?
So my role is CEO, so basically I'm like overseeing everybody, making like the decisions where we're going, and then just helping to develop each individual part, because like we're still making new areas every single day of like, okay, what's people's roles, what are they doing, systems, processes, how do they make decisions without having to ask me, like that's really the goal. So that's what I'm working on currently. That's the interesting thing too about the positions that I'm in and the positions that we've both been, is it evolves over time. Yeah. And as the business changes, it's like there's different things that are needed to be done. And so basically I kind of have to go wherever is needed and whatever's going to be the best for the company. Tony is more of the marketer and more of like the back end stuff. So he's the one who does all the marketing and different things like that. And that's how we kind of started, was I was the sales guy, he was the marketer. And then obviously it kept just evolving and changing.
And then you're just hiring other sales guys under you guys, is that correct?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so we have sales guys, project managers, transaction coordinators, assistants. Okay. We now have a videographer who's just helping like produce content. We have a COO. Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different positions now.
That's awesome. How are you guys finding your deals?
Like, is finding?
It just cold calling, lists?
We do a lot of marketing. So there's texting, there's cold calling, there is direct mail. We do TV ads. We're actually filming one today, a new TV ad. We have bandit signs, but we're not going to talk about that because technically you're not supposed to put them out. So. Man, I'm trying to think of any other ones that we do. We post on garage sale sites, say, hey, we're buying houses. We buy from wholesalers, so other people who do this, we buy from them because there's not a whole lot of people buying in town. Agents reach out to us, referrals now. I think we're like have the most 5-star reviews in Fort Wayne, so that's like awesome. People are kind of getting to know us now. So yeah, it's just like coming in from everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's
cool. Yep.
So I want to know, so are you guys mostly wholesaling your properties that you get, or are you getting, is it all about finding the deal so you can wholesale, you can flip, mm-hmm. can do the burr method, do all that stuff? What's kind of your business model with that?
That's a good question. It's evolved over time. So in the beginning, like, dude, rentals. Rentals is the name of the game. And that's what we were told around here. You know, that's how everybody got wealthy. That's how you become a millionaire, is rentals. Passive income. That's what Rich Dad Poor Dad talks about. So we started building that. And then used my job to refinance all these properties because I was making a decent amount of money. And I did not have a whole lot of debt. So then we were able to just, you know, use the Burr method. But yes, the name of the game is always finding the good deals. That's always the best, because no matter what exit strategy you use, you're going to make money. But anyway, from there, we went to rentals, then we joined Ryan Pineda's program, and then he was like, dude, freaking couple hundred dollars a month is not going to make a difference. And we're like, oh, dude, you're in Vegas, you don't know, Indiana's different, you know, we're a cash flow state, you're in appreciation, you just don't understand. And yeah, it kind of felt like we knew too much. And after about a year of him saying that, and then us seeing other people in different markets and flippers and stuff, like, all right, I think he's right, let's try it. So he suggested you train people, build an actual business that makes real money, and then you can go and invest in rentals with the excess money.
Okay.
So that's exactly what we did. So I left my job of April of 21, and that's when we hired our first person. That's when we got the office space. That was when like it's like, all right, it's time to make some moves. And so we hired some people, and then that was when our trajectory just shifted completely. The funniest part, though, is that we bought more rentals in the process than we ever could have if we would have just tried to stay buying rentals. So now we have like 75 rental properties, about, I don't know, 15 of those are Airbnbs. And then we flip, now we're buying a lot. We're buying like over 20 properties a month now.
Wow.
So it's, we basically said, okay, forget about the rentals, focus on wholesaling, flipping. That's it. You got two exit strategies. Well, maybe wholesale, which is where you just buy it, close it, and list it. That's it. That way, there's too many decisions that have to be made whenever you're going to analyze it. Is this going to be a rental? Is this going to be an Airbnb? Is this going to be a flip? Is this going to be a wholesale? It's too much. So then the person who's making that decision would have to know everything that you know and learn everything at that point, make a decision. That's a lot. Instead of just analyzing, is this which one's going to be best, flip or wholesale? That's it. And so that's what we decided to do, and like just keep it simple and teach people exactly how to do the one area, and it's made a big difference. So
are most of your properties in Indiana, or are you all over the U.S.?
No, it's all in Indiana. Okay. It's all in Indiana, 45-minute radius. That's the craziest part, too, is for our population, for the amount of deals we're doing is insane.
Yeah, that is.
Like for when I look at other people in like different areas like Vegas and stuff, there's obviously a lot more population, and so the amount of volume that we're doing per where we're at is pretty cool.
That's awesome. What made you choose Fort Wayne then for your office?
Oh, just because we're here.
Yeah,
that's literally it. We had no idea that this market was going to be good. We didn't do market research or anything like that. We were just like, all right, dude, we're here. Let's go do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it does give us an advantage just by being able to go talk to the people, being well-known in the area. It builds credibility. So I think that all of that definitely helps. A lot of people are like, oh, you can go anywhere. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I agree you can. I think it's easier whenever you can talk to people like face-to-face.
Yeah. Are you looking to get into multifamily eventually?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you're doing all these flips and these wholesales, and then you're raising money, and then, like Ryan Pineda said, you're going to use that to invest in other things. Would you look into multifamily eventually?
So it's tough. Part of, like, the hardest thing that you can do as a real estate agent is pick a strategy and stay with it, because there's so many different things you can do with real estate.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways, and they work. You have commercial spaces, you have, you know, large multifamily like apartment buildings, you have subject to, you can do seller financing. Like, there's so many different strategies, and everybody's like, man, like, you know, it's good to have all these strategies, because then you can do whatever makes sense for the deal, which is like a great philosophy. But in practice, when you're really trying to scale and grow, it's a lot more difficult. So what we decided to do was niche and just go single family. We learned single family so freaking well.
Okay.
And we gotten really good at it. And so it's so hard, because yes, I want to do multifamily, and like, I think it makes a lot of sense, but it also like is not our bread and butter. It's not where we're really good at. So it makes a whole lot more sense just to stay with single family right now. And there's different people out there that say that single family is better, and different people that say multifamily is better. You know, Grant Cardone says that buying a single family is one of the dumbest decisions you can ever make. And I'm like, all right, this guy's crazy. Then Chris Krohn, I don't know if you know who that is, but he says that like you should only be buying a single family. So there's different philosophies, and I think that it makes sense for different people. Right now, we are not going to multifamily because I think we could do it, but it's a whole nother ball game, and it's not what we do on a daily basis, and what we do is working really well, so I'd rather double down on that and then just say no. That is the hardest part for people, is saying no to opportunities, because in the beginning, the only way that you're ever going to get to where you want to go is by saying yes to opportunities. Then when you get to a certain level, you got to learn when to say no to opportunities, because every opportunity is probably a good opportunity when you're at that level. You're talking to high-level people that can really make stuff happen. But then you have to decide, is that alignment with where I want to go, what I want to do, and is it going to make sense for me long-term? It's not just about, is this going to make money? Is it going to make money? Yeah, but that's not the highest importance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard decision, but as of right now, we're not. If one fell in our lap and we saw it, it'd be difficult. Now, I would say like stuff like 20 and under, like units, it's not really like that scary for us.
When you
start getting up about 50 and up, that's when it's like, okay, we'd have to probably bring in partners or do something different. It would more be like of a side thing, not something that we're focusing on though. It'd be more like if somebody brought it to us and, hey, there's a great opportunity here.
Okay.
And it was more passive, not thinking about it.
Uh-huh, that makes sense. How big has content creation been for you?
Oh man, I think it's been a game changer, just because then people see you as the authority, and then they bring you more deals because they see you more. And so then whenever anybody has a property, then they just, okay, I know who's buying, I know.
Yep.
And so that's been super helpful. And then also the long form helps people to realize like who you are, and like they feel like they know you. And so Ryan also coached us on that and said, dude, you got to start filming this stuff. And so it's been a game changer for our business. I mean, I think in this day and age, like, you have to do some filming and some content in order to really scale your business up.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I think about Fort Wayne Real Estate, I think about LTD, I mean, probably because of the content creation and everything, you guys are everywhere, so it's cool.
Yeah, and I think it's different than the old school philosophy. You know, a lot of the old school people in Fort Wayne, they get really mad at us and they do not like us because we're teaching other people how to invest. And so then we're creating other investors and stuff. We don't see it that way. We see it in the way of like, man, like if somebody wants to be financially free and we have the information to help them, why would we not want to share that? Like, that's what I really believe, like I'm meant to do on this earth is like share and help and provide and like, if I was given a gift and I don't even share that gift, that to me is bullcrap, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that we just have a different philosophy on that as well.
Okay. So, what advice would you give someone like me who likes real estate, wants to be in some type of sales? I don't really know what I want to do after college. I mean, what advice would you give me?
Advice is hard because
I know I want real estate in my future, whether that's investing on the side or honestly I'd like to make it a full-time thing, you know, something like this.
Advice is always hard for me to give until I know more context about exactly what the person wants. Like, why do you want to invest in real estate? Because some people just, they're like, okay, hey, I want to invest in real estate because I heard it's a good idea to invest in real estate. What do you go to the gym for? Because I heard that hard work, you know, makes you better or whatever. Like, you got to really go down to why. And so make sure that it's going to make sense for why you're doing it. What do you want to accomplish? And again, a lot of people say, I want to make a lot of money. Okay, why? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? What do you want to contribute? Where do you want to go? Like, that's going to be the most important thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll just ask you that real quick. Why? What makes you want to invest in real estate?
For me, it's just the variety. Like we talked about, you can go so many different ways with the deal. Just finding the deal. I feel like, for me, I like changes. I like doing different things. I don't like doing the same thing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to look at different properties, talk to different people, just be able to go find a deal. And, you know, I'm not in real estate right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just chasing the deal sounds like a good time.
Mm-hmm. So... why real estate specifically? Because that sounds like any sales job would be very similar to what you're talking about. It's going to be variety. You're going to be chasing. You're going to be like closing deals and stuff like that. Why real estate specifically?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess that's what I've been fed through, you know, social media and content. And I feel like that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I like the idea of building like a brand in something that you have like tangible assets on and you can build multiple different, like you can put multiple different houses and properties in your portfolio. I think that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's part of it.
Yeah. I think it's really good for people just to evaluate it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we do things because our parents told us so, because society thinks it's going to be cool for notoriety, for status, you know what I mean? And realistically, I think that everything we do is kind of like almost for notoriety and status and recognition. It's really just like a need to be like wanted and loved and like seen. So I think whatever way you do it is going to be good. As far as like real estate goes, the reason that most people invest in real estate, the reason that Rich Dad Poor Dad says is because it's so easy to leverage it. It's so easy to borrow against it. Mm-hmm. Banks will give you money for it, and so then you can scale infinitely. I remember a saying that my parents said, and a lot of people say it, if something's too good to be true, it probably is. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Yep.
And so what I found in my life is that couldn't be further from the truth. And I think that social media is kind of showing that as well. You can buy a property, say for $50,000, put $25,000 in it, you're all in for $75,000, and then the bank gives you $75,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the tenant pays your mortgage, and then you make money every month. That's possible. That sounds too good to be true for me. You can get a house with zero down, and the tenant pays it, and you make money every month, and it costs you no money. That sounds too good to be true, but it is true. We've done it a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's the reason why people like real estate is because it's so easy to leverage and it's very scalable. Because how many times could you buy a property if it cost you nothing down? Like, if it costs you $0 down, how many could you buy?
As many as you want.
As many as you want. Infinite.
Yeah.
It you can go forever. And so that's the reason why I think that real estate is so powerful. But to answer your question for advice, I would say any sales job is going to be great. I started in car sales, and so like I always kind of push people towards that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you learn sales really quickly. You are going to sink or swim. You're going to be put in a situation where you have to survive. You're kind of like a business inside of a business. They do the marketing for you, which is kind of nice, but you can still learn because you're going to have to do some marketing outside of it.
Yep.
So you get to learn all those skills. You get to learn about financing. You get to learn about amortizations. You get to learn about interest rates. You get to learn about everything that's going to translate over to real estate. Mm-hmm. And they pay for your training, they pay for your teaching, they pay for all of that. So that would be my advice, is any kind of sales. The other one, if you want to get into real estate specifically, you could work for somebody like us as an intern and learn it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, the people really want you to stay around and work with them. Like, you know, if your long-term goal was to go do it yourself, it'd be hard for us to be like, all right, yeah, we're gonna align with you, gonna teach you everything. Which, you know, we still will. We'd probably teach you through the RIA, though, instead of like, hey, we want you to work with us because we want some people who want to be there forever. That's not saying that our sales guys are going to be with us forever. If they decide to leave, that's okay, too. And we let them know that, hey, man, if you ever feel like this isn't the right fit for you anymore, you need to leave right away, and that's okay. Like, we're not mad at you or anything like that. I want you to live the life that you want to live, and I want you to create what you want to create. And if you stay around here and you're not happy, then you're going to make a lot of other people unhappy. So that would be my advice, is work in any kind of sales. I suggest working in the real estate specifically if you want to do real estate or car sales, because I think it is very similar. And learn the stuff, man. I've seen so many salespeople that don't even understand the back end, the financing, what's happening, why they're doing it, how it works. I'm like, dude, how do you not know this when you've been doing this for 5 years now? Mm-hmm. And they still don't get it. So just learn. It's all around.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. How important has joining a community like Ryan Pineda's The Wealthy Investor been? Does that change you guys so much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a game changer. It's a game changer for multiple different reasons. One is you get to learn exactly what they're doing. You get to see, you get to implement, you get to like find out their pay scale, who's doing what job. I think that is very difficult for people to actually understand how difficult it is to bring somebody in. All right, you're going to do this. Well, what do I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. But like, figure it out. And so when you can go to somebody else and like, okay, here's what they do. Here's what they do. And here's how we pay them. Here's how they're structured. That helps so much. The other thing that's a big deal is seeing people who are doing way more than you. Because when you're in a small city and you don't leave, you start to think that, oh man, we're doing really good. You know, we're one of the top home buyers and all this stuff in the area. When you go out there, you realize like, dude, you're not even close.
Yeah.
You're not even close. There's a lot of bigger people who are doing a lot bigger things, and that's a good thing. So it can also inspire you the other side. So that inspires me too, seeing people who are way above where I thought was possible, and then holy crap, we can do this too. There's the other side of it as well, where it's like, oh man, like you see other people who you're crushing it, you know, you're doing better than, and then you get to help them. Mm-hmm. You get to help, like, oh man, you get to like give value, you get to help teach other people, and then you feel like you're providing value to somebody else. So yeah, the events, man, it's a game changer. I don't care what event you go to, whether it's Ryan Pineda's 10X Growth Con, like the RIA, like go to events, network with people. You're going to find different people at different levels all the time. But I would definitely say get out of your city as much as you possibly can and really see what's going on in the world. It opened our mind to what's possible.
Yeah. What would you say, or how do you balance content consumption and creation? Because I feel like a lot of people get caught up in consuming and comparing.
Sure.
And you know, I feel like we can get lost in that trap, and I feel like we should be creating more than we're consuming.
Yep, that's something Ryan Pineda says a lot, is yeah, he does not really consume very much content.
Mm-hmm. Some of us can get lost in that, like me personally.
Yep.
Being in college, there's nothing I can really do. I mean, at least I feel like, I mean, I'm in football and I got school. I'm pretty busy with those. And then I see all these guys online doing all this stuff. So I'm like, what do I do here? I feel like consumption has been way too much in my life. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things. One is I follow the people that inspire me. And so like when I see them doing more, you gotta like really look internal at what emotions you're feeling as well. Are you feeling jealousy, envy, different things like that? That's a problem that you're having yourself. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's feeling that, it's gonna be a lot more difficult for you to go get those things. If you're happy for them and inspires you and they're like, holy crap, dude, I can do this. I want that. I'm gonna be able to.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that kind of stuff. The people that I follow are very specific to things that I want to like become more like. So I follow different people like Jay Shetty. I follow Ed Milet. I follow, those are more of like the people who help me on, I would say a feminine energy side, mm-hmm. of more of like an emotional, side. Then I follow people like Grant Cardone, Andy Elliott, like the hardcore people. But I don't want to be like that always either. So I want to like, I got to find my balance of who I want to be. So I watch that because every time you're watching something, it's shaping you're basically brainwashing yourself, right? So that would be the first thing I would do. Stop freaking following all the women. Stop following like the stuff that's distracting you. That's like, dude, this is not serving me. This is not helping where I want to go. And it's just freaking making it worse because that's what I feel like a lot of people do. So that'd be step number one. Step number two that I just started doing because I noticed myself consuming a lot, especially when you're creating it, then I'm like, oh man, I got to go respond to all my comments. I got to do this. I got to do that. So what I did is I actually put a timer on it because I looked at how much I was doing it. So I literally timed myself 20 minutes a day on Instagram, 20 minutes a day on Facebook. That's just the start. I'm going to go continue to try to go down to probably maybe like 10, 15. And so that's what I've done now is just like I'm limiting myself. And another thing that some people do, and I used to do it, was just delete the app. And dude, it freaking sucks going in on your browser and looking it up and stuff. And you can do it, but you're less likely to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So those are just a couple things. Like you have to be intentional about what you want. You have to be intentional that this is hurting me. Because the worst thing you could do is continue to do something that you feel like you should not do. You're like, oh man, this hurt me. And then you get upset with yourself for things that you're doing. And you're like, man. Like, why do I keep doing this? And so that's a habit that you can't control. You have to be intentional about it and like set parameters, set some guidelines, and then just do it. It's hard, but mm-hmm. just force yourself to do it at that point.
Okay. How important is it to have like other male influences around you? I mean, you guys have an office full of solid dudes, it seems like. I see you guys going out, doing events with each other, working out together. How important has that been in your life?
Man, it helps you to go to another level. For me, as a leader, it's actually like makes it to where I go to another level, which is interesting mm-hmm. because I'm just leading, you know. I'm supposed to be the one who's telling them what to do and doing all this stuff, but it makes me have to be that much better. I'm like, dude, I have to show what I want as well. And so it's brought me to another level, and I know that it's helped all of them as well. And we hold each other accountable, but then we also push each other. And so there's also, we have a coach that comes in, and so there's a coach that holds us accountable, holds me accountable, that I'm accountable to, and he has a coach as well. So it's like, it's different than Ryan Pineda. This guy is actually a local guy. He helped Chuck Surak with Sweetwater, helped him sell out for like $1.4 billion or something. He was a pastor at Black Hawk Christian for a long time, so he's been super helpful. Again, for every area of our life, you know, you got your spiritual, you have your health, you got business, and then you have your relationships, right? And so if all of those are not in alignment, then it's going to be hard. If your business is doing great and your relationships suck, it's like, man, it's crazy how if your relationships are just there, then your business is going to be even further
yep.
because everything's in alignment. So he really helps us with that, and we always try to hold each other accountable to that. Like everything, you know, we push each other in business, we push each other in relationships, spirituality, and in our health. We kind of really like push every area, and I think that when you're doing that, it's going to inspire people, it's going to make them want to be better. And it's not like, you know, we're all on the same level, we're all at different levels, but it's not about what level you're at, it's about how hard you're pushing. We can tell how hard it is for certain people. And if you see them continue to push through that difficulty, that's what's really inspiring. Not just like, you know, getting a certain result or mm-hmm. anything. It's like, man, how much did you push yourself?
Yeah, I think that's huge. Just having that environment where you can have like healthy competition,
mm-hmm.
you know, just pushing each other in all those different ways. I feel that on my football team.
Yep.
And that's something that I really want to push towards after college. That's one thing that kind of makes me nervous. I just want to be around, you know, other competitive people.
Yep.
Because that's what I've been around all my life.
Yep.
So,
I want to say something on competitiveness, because something that I realized too is I'm a very, very hyper competitive person. Mm-hmm. And then, it was difficult for me, especially in sales, because when you're in sales and car sales, it's like, man, you got to beat the other people. I had to win, you know what I mean? And so that mindset also held me back a little bit, because it was very hard to be friends with people. Because, like, dude, I wasn't friends with people in car sales. I was like, you know, I talk to you, but barely. I'm sitting there working, dude. Like, I don't want to talk. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to freaking work. And so that mentality just messed with me a little bit. What I found now is that I still want to win. That competitiveness, I don't think you can suppress it. I don't think it can go away. I think it's embedded in you. But what I did was I channeled it differently, and I thought about it differently. So while I'm still competitive, while I still want to win, I also want you to be the best. Because before it was like, I'm going to be the best, and I'm going to make you worse. I'm going to make sure that I beat you every single time, and you're just going to continue while I go up. Now what I decided in my mind is like, man, that's one is I'm a Christian. I'm like, that does not sound like it makes very much sense. That's not why God gave me these gifts, you know? And so then what I found is very helpful for me is like, okay, I do want to win, but I also want you to be better. So I'm going to help you be the best that you can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to get better. That way I can still beat you. But I want to win, but I never, ever want to hold anybody back from what they're capable of or what like God has for their life by like talking down to them. You know, I want to inspire them. I want to help them. I want to help them get better. And I'm hopefully going to grow so much that while I'm teaching them, while I'm growing them, I'm teaching them from my past, from who I used to be, from what I already learned. I want to teach them from behind because I want to continue to get better. If they like, there's people like Andrew who might surpass me, and it just is what it is. But I'm going to continue to always be competitive and to try to be better every single day. That way, hopefully, I'm on the different trajectory. But that's what I found has been super helpful for me. Just a mindset shift of like, yeah, I'm going to take this and I'm going to channel it to do good for other people instead of like trying to bring other people down.
Yeah, that's good. How is LTD gonna expand in the future?
Oh man, dude, we have a lot of expansion capabilities because we have like different markets. We have the entire United States. We've only been in a 45-minute radius of Fort Wayne, and we're doing this many deals. Like, imagine when we just freaking expand and expand and expand. And so we actually just hired a guy yesterday as acquisitions, so he's gonna be coming on. So we're gonna have five acquisitions people now. Or no, actually, I'm sorry. We took person out and we started a different business or a partnership with Fixated Funding. So now we're going to have back to four. So these guys, though, when this gets developed, Andrew's probably going to be more of like the sales manager or sales lead. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have the acquisitions guys. And then we just continue to expand them. And when that expands, you have to figure out a way to flow the rest of the business to get them all through the pipeline. So
yeah.
I think step number one is going to be sales, which is something that I've gotten really, really good at. And I think that's the hardest part for people is finding the good deal. Mm-hmm. That's what we got really good at. And Tony always said from the beginning, like, you got to find deals and find the money. We gotten really good at both of those, but the biggest one is finding the deals. I think that's the most important, is finding a good deal. And yeah, we're doing it now.
Uh-huh. That's all I got.
I like it.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, perfect, man.
You guys got awesome setup.
Thanks, bro.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a spot for you whenever you graduate. Oh, when are you graduating?
So I'm graduating after this year, but then I had so many college credits going into college from high school, so I'll be getting my MBA then, my fifth year. So I'll graduate in a year and a half.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, we'll be ready, man.
All right.
Yeah. We'll be ready for you.
Yeah. You guys-